Nathan, you're a music expert. I know. Every time I come to your house, you've got it all piped in through the house, and it's always such classical stuff.
I'm a Rat Pack guy.
Yeah, this is the kind of music you like.
Oh,
huh?
I do.
A little Pete Fountain clarinet. Yep. Huh? Yep. Sounds good. Huh? Kind of lifts you up on your Saturday morning.
It's nice.
Nathan Angel, sales manager, Bellegarde Pavers, here talking about exterior hardscapes. We've kind of talked our way through this caller who had called us a couple weeks ago and wanted to know, what do I do with my bare dirt backyard? I want to get some hardscape in here, and where do I start? So we put him directly in touch with Nathan. Nathan, what? How do you? We're talking about it here on the air. You're talking about YouTube. Are there classes that would be available for any homeowner to kind of see how it's done, or do you rely on the YouTube channel pretty heavily on that?
We do rely on the YouTube channel pretty heavily. I mean, certainly there's nothing really for homeowner-based in terms of classes.
Yeah, okay.
There are some things that our dealers will run occasionally, so certainly check with them. And, you know, it is, and if we get a bunch of interest, certainly we can help put on a demonstration at one of our dealer locations like Marvell.
Okay. Excellent. Well, okay, so we've talked about the over-excavation, the backfilling in layers, the wet compacting, the sand, the spacers, and the placement of the pavers while standing up. That's a back-breaking position to be in. But once we've got the pavers in and we're making our way from the house out to the radiused edge where the paver ends and the lawn or the landscaping, softscaping begins. We've got those peculiar little cuts between the full paver and the edge of the radius edge. Those are the scariest things in the world to cut.
Absolutely. And the biggest recommendation, first of all, is one thing directly out of ICPA, or the Interlocking Concrete Pavement Institute, which is sort of the governing body for our industry, is that we don't want a paver less than a third of its original size. So when you see those little sliver cuts, pretty much guaranteed that, you know, if it was professionally installed, I would question actually the professional nature of that installation, because most contractors all contractors that are ICPI certified know better than to leave those little sliver cuts in. So getting back to our homeowner, what we're going to recommend is you change the pattern a little bit as you get towards the end. If you're laying our sort of random, which is sort of the most popular, all you got to do is move some pavers around, change the direction. So now you're cutting a little piece off the big piece rather than leaving the little piece in. And that way you're going to get a much better looking job. And it's certainly much safer to cut once you're at the wet saw than doing anything else. Homeowners, rent the wet table saw as well. That's the easiest and the safest way that I can recommend. If you're trying to hold a big, you know, 14-inch handheld gas powered saw, it's challenging.
It's intimidating.
It's very intimidating.
It's basically a chainsaw with a 14, 16, or 20-inch diamond blade spinning on the end, and you fire that thing up. It's noisy. You give it a little gas, that blade's spinning, no telling how fast, and then you drop the edge of that diamond blade onto a concrete masonry product of 6,000 to 8,000 PSI, and you're leaning on it, and it's wanting to crawl on you, and how do you stabilize? I've asked Romy to hold a paver while I cut it a couple times, and he just won't stand still long enough.
Yeah, hold this big spike while I use a sledgehammer.
Yeah. Oh, so the wet saw table, which really came into fashion with the ceramic tile industry, but you put the right blade in those, and you'll be able to cut the pavers standing up with a fence and a guide. And you're much more able to control it.
And another tip, and I gave this to the homeowner that called in because I recommended the same thing. The biggest tip is also don't leave the pump in the tray that comes, you know, that is supplied with the saw. Put the pump into a clean bucket of water and have a hose that's got a nozzle on it that's slowly refilling that. So that way you're using clean water all the time to cut, because otherwise that slurry is going to get all over the paver and you're going to be so disappointed when it dries later on.
You won't see it while it's wet, and you walk over and you put it in, and then it's got all this slurry on it that dries, and now you're having to clean a brand new paver.
Yeah, so absolutely, you're just creating yourself more work for yourself. And then also, still, even though you're using the clean water, do take the extra step, have another bucket of clean water, and dunk that paver, wipe it off, and then
before it places.
Yep.
Okay. So we've taken you, ambitious homeowners, through the steps of trying to tackle the paver installation. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the other things you can do as well. Once the paver's done, I'll tell you, Nathan, one of the questions I'm asked all the time is, yeah, but I want to park an RV there. And they think a paver won't handle it.
No, it absolutely will.
Is it the exact same installation process, or do you put a little more sub-base on it?
Definitely going to go deeper on the base. Okay. And we really need to know, too, once we're talking this kind of operation, what kind of soil we're looking at. If you're in the Southeast Valley like Gilbert, we're going to probably go even deeper.
Wow. Okay. So, but it will take the weight. There isn't anything you can't park on it. It is the new driveway, walkway, exterior surface. It's replacing concrete for many, many good reasons. We hardly pour raw gray concrete anymore, and it's because of what pavers do for us, both maintenance-wise and beauty-wise. More when we get back with Nathan Agel. Romy? What's Romy yodeling about?
I don't know. It sounds good.